and welcome to another episode of Veterans Talk with your host, Priscilla Jones. Today, I'm here to share my journey in the experiences leading to my lung surgery and then some. And let me tell you, it was quite the journey and experience. In previous episodes from Back with a Story and Living with the Coronavirus, I have referenced that I was needing surgery for my right lung. So now that is over, or is it really? Let me share with you, my fellow veterans and veterans families, the surgery journey featuring me, another fellow veteran who's a female. Now, last year in July 2023, after my niece's wedding, I made the final decision to have the lung surgery. It was the right time for me. No more outside engagements. COVID-19 numbers were low in the city where the operation was to take place. And I felt more stronger doing housework without having to stop and catch my breath a lot. I called the number to the thoracic surgery clinic at Manhattan VA Hospital. Now, a sidebar, their full title name is way too long. I like Manhattan VA better. So that's it. And I contacted the staff to proclaim I'm going to have the surgery. Much to their happiness that I've finally made the decision to do it, now things are rolling. I was to get updated tests now for the full breathing test and CT scan. Then I had to get a cardio stress test too. Whew! Got all the testing done and they told me the dates that the surgeon does his surgery, all on Thursdays. So I picked the last Thursday of September, which was September 28th, 2023, to be scheduled and had to leave home to be in Manhattan VA the day before, which was Wednesday, September 27th. I was sent by email the preparations and places that I needed to go for pre-admission. Oh, and let me not forget to mention that they arranged for my travel from my home to their location using an Uber driver. As I remember in one of my previous episodes that I've been to the Manhattan VA years ago when I used to work in the city, they have changed tremendously. It's more organized than it was before. So before leaving in the Uber, I kissed and hugged my daughter and away I went. Traveling 50 plus miles to the hospital with my rolling sports bag of luggage. Trust me, it was a lot of stuff I packed. Upon arrival, I had to get another CT scan. Now, in my head, I'm like, why? And I took another MRSA test, a COVID-19 test, and blood typing for the event I might need a blood transfusion. And then onwards to the pre-admission section to wait for a bed to be ready. Why? Because they had to move a male veteran to another room with another male veteran so that I may have that room as a single room. Plus, it had to be clean, sanitized, and clean linen sheets had to be placed on it, as well as blankets for me on the unit floor. I was on the far end of the aisle because I'm the only female veteran there on the floor. So the other guys were like towards the opposite extreme end. So I'm getting acclimated to my room. The nurses come in telling me how to prep myself for surgery the next day with these 6 cloths that came in one pack. So the one cloth was for each arm, each leg, the front and the back. For example, one cloth I'd wash the right arm and shoulder and throw it away. That was done as stated in the prep. I had brought along my own pajamas and a robe, but had to change in a hospital gown the next day. The nurse came again to put the IV in my arm and a gown to wear, which I used the morning of surgery. Now, let me describe the room that I briefly stayed in. The room was very large. They had a TV there. It was attached to the bed with a flexible arm rotation to move it up and down, closer and far away from you. The water was super cold. It would have to be run a long time before it gets warm. Not hot, warm. No, thank you. The alternative was to use the body washcloth, so I used that. Little did I know later on that these cloths could be heated up for me, so I ended up using it cold right out the plastic. The nurse was nice to get me out to get me something to eat, Nothing much that I remembered, but the pudding. I don't know why the pudding is a standout, but you're going to see why. It was getting late, and it was emphasized that I couldn't eat anything after 12 midnight before the surgery. Common knowledge, okay? So later, right before the stroke of midnight, I threw up the pudding. I didn't ring any warning bell, but at least three nurses ran into the room to see what was going on, seeing that I threw up. They told the on-call doctor, and he prescribed nausea meds through the IV because I couldn't have anything by the mouth. So afterwards, I got some rest. Then the same day, which was like early Thursday morning around 6 a.m., I had to again prep my body using the 6 cloths and brush my teeth, tongue, and gums with a medicated solution, which tasted nasty, okay? But, hey. Anyway, another gown was given to me for surgery and a cap. Forget about the gown from last night. I was given a fresh one. Then I was wheeled to another room close to the actual surgical room, and I was waiting there. Just waiting. Listen, I was naked under the gown, and it was still cold, super cold, okay, in that room. A few minutes, which seemed like an hour, and went by, and finally I was wheeled to my surgery room. I'll never forget the OR number. It was OR8, operating room 8, number 8. When they opened the door, ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't believe it. It was super duper bright. I mean, purified white bright. The glory gates of heaven bright. Brighter than the brightest white coat of fresh paint white. It was blinding and distracting at the same time. And oh, let me tell you, it was also freezing cold, like below freezing temperatures. And the weirdest part, I know the staff was cold, but they didn't act like it. Nobody shivered, blew hot breath into their hands. Well, that's unsanitary in a sterilized room, come to think about that. They kept talking and doing their thing. There were three big screens that had my name and info, and my surgeon just asked if I was who I was, of course, I am who I am, and my last 4 digits of my social security number, and he was then going on about his business with the team about the type of surgery that is being presented to these people and about what they're about to do. So, in the afterthought, I thought those screens probably turned into a monitor for the robot-assisted surgery, but nobody told me that. I just thought about that as an afterthought. So, at that time, I went to sleep under the anesthesia as they were still talking, okay? So now, hours later, I hazily woke up in my bed, but not in the same room. All my belongings were transferred to this room while I was asleep. I looked at the clock in front of me, and it read something after 6. I didn't know what day it was, same day or next day. The nurse saw me move and said, "Hi, Mrs. Jones." I'm still groggy and half sedated. I managed to ask her what time and day it was. She said 6-something p.m., and it was the 28th, so it was the same day. I asked her how long was the surgery, and she looked it up in the computer, and she told me 7 hours. What? 7 hours? I was told years back, like 3 years ago, okay, that it would take between 2 to 5 hours. This is what the most people were bragging about. Oh, surgery's going to be 2 to 5 hours, maybe 3 to 5 hours. No less than that. Okay. Wow. I went back to sleep for a while longer until the medication and anesthesia wore off and I could be alert again. Okay. So after getting proper rest, I needed to go to the bathroom, but I kept feeling a stabby pain in my side. Okay, I know I'm pausing for a bit here because I had to remember that about that pain is just it's very, very painful, but I'm gonna get back into that. Okay, so after getting my proper rest, excuse me, I had a little flashback there. I needed to go to the bathroom, but I kept feeling a stabbing pain in my side. Now, that's when I found out the chest tube was there. I'll explain a bit about the chest tube after I tell you about the bathroom debacle. Whew, that was another thing, but all by itself that could be like a whole episode in itself, but I digress, okay? So I had to go to the bathroom, but the nurse hadn't put in a catheter. As a matter of fact, it should have been inserted while I was asleep in between recovery room or entrance into the SICU, which is the surgical intensive care unit where I was. So I notified the nurse that I needed a catheter. She got the supply for the females, you know, catheters, but she forgot how to insert it. I was patient, people. I was patient while she tried her best until she had to ask for help from another nurse as to how to do it properly. The other nurse explained that since mainly males come in, that's mostly what they're used to doing. You know, the catheters for the guys. But rarely does a female fellow veteran comes in their path. Okay, gotta have another sidebar, people. That's why we women veterans need to get our health care with the VA, not just from company providers from work. Okay, just saying, just putting it out there. All right, so now I digress back. All right, so finally, the catheter got inserted after about 10 minutes of discomfort, and I was able to relieve myself immediately. Going back to the chest tube now, that was the worst pain ever. The worst of pain ever. Besides the nurses taking vitals around the clock, the visit by my surgical team, getting in and out of bed, another painful thing inside me, okay, that the nurses just shove your feet onto the bed with said chest tube piercing inside to eat in their comfy geriatric chair and go into the bathroom. That chest tube is the worst, okay? The chest tube is placed in your chest cavity and through a cut in your side to connect to a tray that collects the blood, air, and other liquid stuff that comes out of the body. Okay, that's what the chest tube is for. It's very sharp at each end, and the pointy, stabby part rests inside the chest cavity, while outside your wound is none other than taped down with gauze. Okay? I mean, really, taped down with gauze. All right? So the nurses measure the amount daily per staff shift that of the liquids and the air that comes into this little chest tube tray. All right? Now, that chest tube inside your body, it feels like a small knife. It's cutting your insides while you move about, okay? It's just having a pity, and I'm not even a pity, but it's just having a piercing party. That's what I meant to say, a piercing party while you move, okay? So also, every morning, I had to receive medication in the oxygen mask for 30 minutes for 3 days to heal the lungs from within. Believe me, I made a video with this mask for posterity. This was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. All right? Whew. So, now let me tell you about the nurses there. I had some nice nurses mainly, but of course, you got to have that over-the-top drill sergeant nurse who don't care how you feel. Your pain is their pleasure, and they get off on when you're incapacitated and can't fight back. Okay? Whew. Especially if you don't have no one visit you, like I did. Okay? No one visited me when I was in the hospital there. They were 50 miles away. I wouldn't tax them, but hey, life is life. They take full advantage of that, okay? Well, this particular nurse, I hated when her shift time came. Let me tell you what she did. Ooh, whew. She knows that I have the chest tube, which I call it McStabby, okay? Piercing inside, and it hurts. She don't care. Instead of gently helping me out of the bed, she grabs my ankles and swings it to the edge of the bed, not caring that it puts me in pain. Then pulling my arm so that I could sit upright, she made it worse. Oh my gosh. I would tell Nurse Jungle Jane, okay, that's my nickname for her, Nurse Jungle Jane, that I'm hurting. And she'd give me a half-hearted answer with no compassion. But you know the absolute worst thing Nurse Jungle Jane did to me? Oh my God, you got to hear this. I was sitting in the chair and had to go to the bathroom, okay? She gives me the bedpan, fine. I do my business, tell her I'm done, and she was supposed to wipe my backside. I would do the front. Well, she wiped, but something didn't feel right about the swipe. She just left me all exposed, so I took the extra wipe cloth and swiped myself again. On that cloth, whew, was all my defecation, like she did nothing and acted like she did a thorough job. Okay? I took another clean wipe from the pack myself and made sure for certain that I was clean back there. Disgusted! Blech! I mean, blech! Think of vomit coming out your mouth. With exclamation points. What if I had gotten a serious infection from her not cleaning my butt? That's a nasty, heinous thing to do to another veteran. And I'm a female veteran. A female like her. Okay. Okay, not cool at all. I never let her clean my backside again after that, and no one else either. Okay, that was a lesson learned. Don't do it. Don't let no one do something that you can do for yourself. Okay. Other than that, I did have physical therapy and my choice of either a walker or rollator with a seat. So of course, you know, I chose the rollator with a seat. Hello. The two ladies supervised me. The physical therapist, and showed me how to get up and down the stairs too, as well as take walks up and down the corridor. You know, that's part of the therapy. So at that time, at times, I didn't want to go back to my room. That's how much I really enjoyed their physical therapy. And I don't say that very lightly. I mean, I really mean that. The physical therapy with them ladies, they were very, very good. And the ladies always kept the conversation going. And I liked that about them. I didn't feel that it was being a job, you know, to go through the motions of going up and down the stairs. Okay, you do this, as I say, and then that's it. But they just made a conversation about it, which really made it a very particular joyful occasion for me. All right. So I remained in the hospital for at least 5 days, mostly in the SICU, the surgical intensive care unit. The surgical team that was in my surgery room came around occasionally to check on the chest tube apparatus. They would ask me to cough. The bubbles in the tube would move, which meant that air was still inside the chest cavity. Then on the 5th day since the surgery, when the team came around to check the chest tube apparatus and asked me to cough again, the water didn't move. And they said, oh, I could go home. When it was time to get the chest tube out, the one that's stuck inside my body, Mr. McStabby, okay, the doctor gave me instructions to hum this song. I forgot the name of the song. I think it was a birthday song of that. I think. And then while they humming the song, she pulled it out. And with it came some liquor stuff too. And I was coughing up so much fluids still. And then the doctor bandaged it up, and that signaled the time to go home. And I was still coughing up so much of the liquid and phlegm. I guess it was phlegm. I don't know to this very day. All right. But I asked the nurse who was doing my discharge papers, and she said that it was normal and it would stop. I got visits by my surgical team, my PT team, who gave me the rollator and the seat with a seat fancy. And as I was leaving, they all stood in a line, clapping and smiling and congratulating me. I felt so honored and special. Like, I had a big cheesy grin on my face, you know, eyes bright. Nothing like that ever happened to me. Okay, it's something like something you would see on TV when cops retire after X amount of years, or they come out of the hospital after being shot after getting an injury or something, and they get this great grand ex the celebrations, clapping and stuff. So I was sitting in the wheelchair passing them by, and I stopped by the pharmacy to get my meds, and then I was on my way home by Uber again, you know? So that's it for that. The next adventure of my healing is just moments away. I got when I got home during my stay there at Manhattan, VA. Oh, I forgot about that part. I got heparin shots daily in my upper arm, left arm one day, next day the right arm, and back and forth. My upper arms were sore and bruised when I got home. I mean, my whole arm looked like a pinata. All these dark spots, you will see it. The nurse had problems getting blood and sticking IVs. And, excuse me. So I was pricked a lot and got bruises on both arms, I tell you. Then they had the nerve to consider me a hard stick. But the people who took the blood I forget what they call it, the hematologist or something. They take the when they come there to take the blood, they had no problem getting the vein. But nurses trying to get an IV into the vein, they had a little problem. Okay, I don't know. You have to be the judge of that. I don't like to be called no hard stick if you don't know how to do your job right. Okay, that's just it. Nevertheless, it's over now, or is it? I've encountered the same thing in a future segment in my episodes of the surgical recovery journey. Thank you all for sharing in my first part of this hospital journey. The next episode is coming, and it's another experience for we veterans to be aware of. And that would be my recovery at home. Very short process. Okay, take care, and I'll see you in the next segment of Veterans Talk.